Hello, everybody. My name is Jeff Hugh. I've been working at Akamai helping our media and entertainment industry for about 6 years now. So hopefully I can share some of my insights in those years today. Look, I know some of you already know what credential stuffing is, but for those that don't, so credential stuffing is a type of attack that tries to accomplish account takeovers via automated means. It's not brute force. It's using legitimate credentials to try to gain access through web applications and APIs. So this has been extremely tricky to detect because of the use of legitimate content. So the attack relies on the fact that users tend to reuse passwords and credentials across multiple online services. So when you do have credential spills, for example, from a breach, it tends to fuel this kind of attack. So that's what credential stuffing is. Okay. Now, have a guess. In the 6 months of data collected by Akamai, we saw about 12.5 billion attacks, credential stuffing attacks on our customers. And majority of those attacks are actually on media and entertainment space, which is quite surprising. So it shows that media and entertainment is highly targeted by credential stuffing attack, just because there's a lot of users that you can correlate against valid credentials that's been stolen. And there's definitely a driver behind that. 2 weeks ago in Australia, a 21-year-old man was arrested for selling stolen credentials. Now, he runs a service called Wicked Gen, one like many other account generation service. During its 2 years of service, it's managed to amass 120,000 users and over 11 million accounts in its rotation. So its business model is not unlike other OTT providers. They provide a monthly and a yearly plan. But as long as you subscribe to them, you have access to all these accounts to access various other popular streaming services, social sites, even e-books, for example. So there is real impact. There's motivation behind that. There's monetary value and motivation behind these bad actors.
And we see these attacks across every vertical you can think of. Anything that has a login that is protecting some type of content that can be monetized, whether it's a bank account, a retail account, or even financial or a media account, we'll see those and we observe those on our platform. So when you get a sense of the numbers, you know, at a high watermark, we'll see more than a quarter billion of these fraudulent attacks coming from bots in a given day. And I think to underscore the point that Jeff made, when we take a closer look at media and video streaming services, their percentage of that overall attack volume can get as high as 68% of the total attacks we're seeing. So the reason that that these profit-motivated attackers are so focused on media, we believe, is not only do they have the opportunities for monetization that Jeff spoke about, where they're reselling these stolen accounts, but we also believe that that the other part of that ROI that they perceive is that maybe media is not as well protected. You know, over the last 5 to 7 years, we've worked closely with many of the largest financials, and almost every bank has some type of bespoke solution focused on bots and mitigating the bots. So they may also find it more difficult to attack a bank than a media organization. So that's likely part of their calculus and why they're so focused on the media industry. And, you know, if the fuel for these attacks are the credential spills, like the one that Jeff spoke about earlier this year, there was a massive credential spill where somebody leaked online a database you could download that had about a quarter billion credentials, And we know human beings, I'm sure nobody in this room, but in general, human beings tend to have pretty poor password hygiene. Less than 55% of people use a unique password on their primary financial services site. So imagine how bad that is on other services. So if that's the fuel for this engine, the engine itself are all of these tools that exist. So this is an example of one of the tools known as Sniper. You can download that. There are sort of free versions where you can get training on YouTube. There are also commercial versions that have more bells and whistles. There are other tools like Sentry MBA, modified by Author, is what that acronym stands for, that allow a software developer to very aggressively modify that tool. But as part of each of these tools, they will have, out of the box, evasions for many of the simple things people will look to do to disrupt bots. Almost all of these tools will come with a out-of-the-box CAPTCHA solver. You know, CAPTCHA is really a perverse control at this point. It was designed to be difficult for bots, easy for humans, and at this point, it's easier for bots to solve a CAPTCHA than it is for human. So all these tools out of the box will come with that. Some of them operate a SaaS model, where you can contact their help desk with an SLA if you're having trouble getting through a CAPTCHA. We'll get that solved in, you know, X number of minutes, depending on what you pay. So that's part of what you get with that service. As well, you know, as you can see here, there are plenty of tutorials that are getting thousands and thousands of hits for the entry-level folks that maybe don't want to pay and they want to start to get into this business. But when we start to really shine a flashlight on an organization and look at, you know, is your traffic human? Is it this fraudulent bot activity? You know, a typical scenario we will see is an organization that called us because they were having availability problems, just scaling problems, because their auth service was getting tens of thousands of hits a minute. And when we went and looked, you know, we saw basically a botnet that was really obvious to see. It was sort of an amateur. They were performing about 50,000 of these attacks per hour from a pair of IP addresses that were in cloud hosting. So they basically took some of these tools. They're running them on a very large cloud service provider. And it's pretty easy to spot them. There's two IP addresses, identical user agents for all of that traffic. But what's not uncommon is when you shine that light there and you start understanding which traffic is bot, which traffic is human, by looking at things like key presses, mouse movements, to really understand what's going on the other end of that connection. We saw two other more sophisticated bots that had been conducting fraud against that organization for presumably some period of time. One of those was, you know, that the noisy one was at 50,000. There was another one that was clocking along at about 9,000 an hour, and another one at about 800 an hour, which is the one that you probably have to worry about because that was the most sophisticated. So at the most sophisticated end, we would see a request rate per IP on target of 0.00035 requests a second. So traditional controls like looking for a rate of request, looking for a geography that's anomalous, will not stand up to these advanced attackers. And I know, Jeff, you spent some time in Australia working with some broadcasting customers that are battling these type of bots recently.
Yeah, certainly. So I've had the pleasure to work with several of my customers across Australia, New Zealand, as well as ASEAN. Each of them have different challenges, but this particular customer in Australia, you know, we strategized that application protection and stream protection, brought as one holistic view, because any weakness in those points can result in unwanted access or even piracy. So this particular customer actually has an inkling that there may be a problem. You know, they have unexplained spikes at times. So we came in there and we worked with them and designed and provided them tools to give visibility. So visibility is primarily is first and foremost the most important thing for you to understand what it is that you're against. So with these tools, then we allowed them the capability to mitigate these attacks. And besides managing these attacks, we're also helping them manage good, bad, or other good, bad, or suspicious bots. Now, we've implemented this with them for the past 6 to 8 months. Besides the first initial implementation phase, we now see persistent attacks on this customer that we're helping mitigate. So this kind of backs what we were talking about earlier in the graphs, that that attacks are persistent. There is monetary value, material value to the bad actors, and so that's what we see currently.
Excellent. And these attacks, you know, we talked about that big high-profile spill that was in January this year, but those spills are ongoing on a continual basis. You know, just I think April 3rd, there was a takedown order that went from Facebook to remove some content that was in an unprotected, unauthenticated bucket on S3. And it was from a Facebook partner that was a media organization, and they had just reams of data on individuals, including the things that they had liked on Facebook, all their friends. And it also had, presumably, the login to that app, not Facebook, but stored in plain text, thousands and thousands of passwords, right? So for these adversaries, that's fresh fuel. That's a new set of attacks that they can then monetize. All these tools make it very easy to just download that database, insert that in the tool, download your list of proxies, so that keeps your IP address range fluid for evasion purposes, and you can just keep on moving there. And when we look at sort of mitigation, we're several generations in at this point. I think the days of having CAPTCHA be an effective solution have really been passed. When you look at organizations that are surveyed on this, more than 70% of organizations say that they do not implement protections against these type of attacks because they're concerned about the level of friction that a solution would cause. But I think the industry has moved to the point where you don't necessarily have to confront your customer with a CAPTCHA and disrupt their end user experience to disrupt this type of fraudulent activity. So the state of the art today is really understanding the biometrics of the user versus the bot, which will have synthetic looking interaction with the device. Moving forward, I think it was really interesting to hear the discussion around early access to content and the desire to move to a passwordless solution. Certainly we think that's where things are moving. Fundamentally, you know, user education is great, but at the end of the day, all of these attacks exist not because of any imperfection in the security of your site. It's the hygiene of your users, right? And training your users is a maybe not the most effective way to move forward here. You'll always have some hygiene problem with your users. So frictionless, passwordless type of solutions, we think, will offer fundamentally better security without a tremendous increase in friction. So we will be releasing tomorrow, in coordination with NAB, a specific report that looks at all kinds of details on these attacks specific to the media and video streaming segment. You know, these are a couple little snippets here. So we've got details on the destination. The bad news is the US is the most popular target. Not surprisingly, with these attacks, we always see the country where the target exists also to be a very popular source, because the attackers will select proxies that will make that request come from where the content provider wants it to come from. They're evasive in that way. But feel free to download that attack that attack report that will be released tomorrow. Just search for Akamai State of the Internet report, and we'll have a full set of details of what we're observing here based on a massive data set of attacks targeting the media segment. Thank you.
Thanks.